Well, I desire your prayers. I know it's getting late. I'll try to be aware of the time this morning. It's been a real good meeting, and I'm thankful for it. Glad I was here. I hope every one of you can say the same. Amen. Seen some really good things the Lord has done here. I have a thought on my heart, desire your prayers, that the Lord gave me several months ago at home, and as I came here, I've been inspired with it again. And so I'd like to look at 2 Timothy, the second chapter. If I could get some water, I'd appreciate it. 2 Timothy 2 and 15. It says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And the phrase or the words in this verse that have been echoing over and over in my heart are rightly dividing. You know what that tells me is that every one of us have the privilege and the ability to be able to take the Word of God and rightly apply it in our lives. We don't have to have someone else to say, "I've got it all figured out for you. This is how I want you to do it. You don't have to pray about it. This is what the Word of God says, and this is exactly, and if you do it, if you do this, and you do this, and you do this, then you're going to be balanced. You're going to be pleasing to the Lord." The Lord uses people, does He not? But the bottom line this morning is that every one of us have the option, have the privilege to be able to directly be connected to the vine where we have the Spirit of God speaking to our hearts and letting us know, "I want you to do this in your personal life." Thank you. In Hebrews, the 4th chapter, maybe I'll just read it real quick. It says, "For the Word of God is quick," or alive, "and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." You know what the problem is with man trying to tell somebody else exactly how to live? Is that man is not a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. There are principles that we as ministers need to have in our hearts. We need to have the Word of God to be able to preach. We need to have discernment. And sometimes, remember when Peter said to Simon, I think it was Peter, he said, "I discern," or "I perceive that you're in the gall of bitterness." You know, the Lord, by the power of the Holy Ghost, Peter was able to have an insight into a man's life. But it's not always that way. But I want to focus this morning on us rightly dividing the word of truth. Jesus said, "It is written." Let's go to Matthew, the 4th chapter and the 5th verse. It says, "Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple. And he said unto him," you know, the devil knows Scripture too. I believe he knows it better than we do. And I'm talking to every person in this building. The devil knows the Scriptures better than you know them, but I want to tell you that the Spirit of God can bring Scriptures to your mind and my mind. And that's why we need to learn them. We need to have them in our hearts. "The devil took him, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, He shall give His angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Have you ever tried, you know, the Scripture that we just read, it said the Word of God is quick and it's powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Do you know what the problem with manufactured religion, or one of the problems is with it this morning. Have you ever tried to cut vegetables or meat with a dull knife? You know what happens? You might get through it. You might be able to cut it. And I've taken a dull knife and I've just, you know, you can push and you can press and you can force that division where you want it. But not really, because I've observed when I cut something with a really dull knife, what if you're trying to slice something real thin? I like fried potatoes, and I like them to be really, really thin, and I like them to be able to put them in oil, and then they're really good. If they're really thick, it's my personal preference. I don't like them as much that way. You know how hard it is to really thinly slice something if you have a dull knife? It wants to either cut too deep, or it wants to skid across the top. And you can try to cut something right down the middle, and I've noticed that if you use a dull knife, it's going to tear rather than cut. And there's going to be parts of it, maybe parts of the ligaments or the vegetable tissue, it's going to be like it's folded over. The Word of God knows exactly how to divide, and it's amazing to me because the living for the Lord, I have heard before somebody saying, boy, that's a really fine line. Do you know that living for the Lord is made up almost entirely of fine lines? Every principle that the Lord has in the Word of God has what appears to be a very close counterfeit that the devil wants to offer to us. There are things, and that is the difference between man's religion and true religion, which is worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth. Folks, we can meet together here and we can have all of what we think the doctrines are, and we can learn, well, you do this and you don't do this, and we can establish, and we can have a rule book, and we can say, I feel like it would be good for everyone to do it this way. But you know, if we do that, we're cutting with a dull knife. Really, it's our own knife. It says that the Word of God is quick and it's powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And in your life and mine, we have the God-given ability, if we are connected and have a relationship with Jesus Christ, we have the ability for the Spirit of God to speak to our hearts and say, I don't want you to do that. Or I want you to do that. I'm not saying, you know what? I believe that we absolutely need to be receptive to ministers warning us about this or that. And that is absolutely part of the gospel, part of God's plan. But we need to know the Lord for ourselves this morning. The devil took Jesus up into the holy city and set him on a pinnacle of the temple. And he said, cast thyself down, because it's written, he shall give his angels charge over thee. You know, it's real easy for us sometimes to latch a hold of a scripture. Maybe we'll have a pet script, a favorite scripture. And we can say, well, you know, I think the scripture says this. It says this, and we hold on to it. You know, there are no scriptures that contradict each other. Everything in the Word of God, all put together, is for our edification. Sometimes we might not know all the scriptures, but the Lord can teach us. What, just because a scripture says something, you know, there's another one that'll balance it out. There might be a scripture here, but then there's another scripture over here. And all taken together, we are able by the Spirit of God to rightly divide and to discern between those fine lines what the Lord wants us to do. I have been amazed many times at how fine the line really is. But it's okay, because the Spirit of the Word of God is able to help us to cut right down the middle in our lives what the Lord wants us to do. I would like to think about, I mentioned this the other day too, when we run a business, no, not everybody has experience with this, but when I run a business, it's easy to think, okay, if I'm doing this and I'm charging per hour, okay, I run a business and most of the work I do is on an hourly basis. So you want me to work for you? I'll do whatever you want me to do. You're going to pay me this much per hour to work for you. Did you know that I can say, well, if I make this much per hour, and I've done this just for fun before, add it up, if I worked every hour, how much income I would have that I would make in a year? But you know that running a business and working is a lot more than just doing one thing. We work, but I have to sleep, and I have to eat, and I have to rest. Sometimes I'll take a break in the middle of the job. People in factories, places, work environments have found that it is more efficient and that they get more productivity out of their employees if they give them 2 15-minute breaks in the course of an 8-hour day, plus their lunch break. I've been in places before. I was on a job one time, and I was working 6 days a week. And it was getting tiring. And then they said, you know what? We want to bump it up to 7 because we want to get the job done. We're behind on the job, and so we're going to bump it up to 7 days. Everybody has to work the weekends. And I said, look, you're not bumping it to 7. You're bumping it to 13 or 20 or 27 or whatever, because there's not a break between this and the next one. We need rest. And I'm speaking in a material sense here, but there's a definite spiritual application too. We need rest. I need to buy tools. My saw blades get dull. I need to sharpen them. Sometimes I think we can get in this mindset where the Lord wants me to do this, and so this is all I'm going to do, and this is what we're going to do. And sometimes we can do this with our families. You know that we need, as a family, if we're going to serve God, the most effective way to do it is a balanced way. And that means that all of our time isn't spent in church. Some of our time is spent in instruction. Some of it's spent in family picnics. Some of it is spent in rest and recuperation of the mind. When I'm on the job, I don't just work all the time. And if I were to drive all the time, I'd have to stop and change the oil and do routine maintenance. We invest and buy in our businesses, and we cultivate relationships, and we spend money on advertising. You know, my business is open to make money. That's the reason I have it. But the other day, I bought a tool. It was to put on doorknobs, a cabinet doorknobs. I paid $300 for it. Doesn't that sound like a huge expense? Why would you go spend $300 on something like that? It's because it's going to make me money in the long run. And that's what we're interested in this morning. We're interested in the long run. We're interested, to put it more plainly, in the cause of Christ. Everything that we do, I want to encourage you this morning to align all of your goals and all of your plans and everything that you do with the cause of Christ. Some people think, well, I have to reserve a little time to myself. No, all of our time needs to be given to God, because He knows that we need some time for rest and recuperation and for enjoyment. Everything that we have, I've just been under a burden recently that we would be able to give ourselves to the Lord with no limits, because the Lord is not an unfair and unjust God. He is a just God, and He's a loving God, and He wants you and me to give our lives to Him and say, this is yours, without any reservation. And then, you know, the Lord is not a hard taskmaster. The Lord will give us what we need to have a happy and fulfilled and successful life. You might not get rich. You might not live exactly where you thought you wanted to live, but it says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thy heart. If your desires and your will is aligned with God's cause, and you say, God's cause is first and foremost in my life, you know, the Lord will make sure that we are fulfilled and happy in our life. Listen, I've been on both sides. I have lived for myself. I have. Even after I got saved, I had to learn, and I'm still learning, how to give myself more and more to the cause of God. And that's okay, because the Lord knows our hearts. You know, you can give all your heart to the Lord while still having areas that you need to work on, because you don't know exactly. I don't know what you're getting out of this morning, but the Lord has put a burden on me that we live effectively for God and know for ourselves how to apply the Word of God in our hearts. I want to look at another thing down here. 1 Corinthians, let's go there. I tell you what, I'd like to go to a scripture before I go there. Luke 10. Let's go to Luke 10 and verse 30. So somebody asked Jesus, who's my neighbor? And Jesus said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Now wait a minute. I want to ask you, what was the priest? Why was he a priest? And then it said a Levite did the same thing. He passed by on the other side. We've got a little dramatized story. I don't know how many of you have heard of the... I think it's the Bible in Living Sound. And it's a series of stories that was produced, I think, back in the 60s and 70s. If you don't know about it, really, you ought to look it up, because it's some really good stuff. Dramatized Bible stories for children. It's not just for children. I've been on trips by myself and put it on. And it dramatized the story and told this story about the priest and the Levite. And the man that was wounded was laying by the road, and he said, help me. You know, help. I'm dying. I got to have some help. And the Levite said, I am a man of God, and I'm going to do the Lord's business. I don't have time for that. And then he's gone. Priest said something like the same thing. Folks, sometimes we get to where we think, I'm doing this for God. I want to do this for God. And I'm doing this, and I want to focus all my attention on this. And there are works for the Lord that go neglected in our lives because we're too focused over here. I don't believe that we get that way by accident. But if we can, I guess the bottom line is that we be connected to God. Because if we are, the Lord will help us to know how to rightly divide the word of truth. You know what that means? It means that we put some things over here and we put some things over there. When we read the scriptures, we don't be an extremist and go and just hold on to this one and forget about all the others. When we do the work of the Lord, we don't just focus on one thing and we forget about all this over here. Everything that is in our life, folks, if the Lord puts a situation of need in our life, do you know that it is our opportunity to do, or it is our obligation to do what we can do to fill that need? To be the finger of God? We can pray and we can say, Lord, help the people down in Africa, or help this, and Lord, help them. But you know, if it is in our power to do something, Lord, help my child to live for you. But then if we go and we spend all our time, even if it's what we think is doing the work of the Lord, and we neglect the things right in front of us, then I believe we're making a mistake. Everything And I want to say there's a lot of stuff that's relative, and I don't want us to get the wrong idea here. Luke 14 and 26, it says, "If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." Now, wait a minute. We're not supposed to hate anybody, are we? This scripture means to love less. So everything has to be put into perspective. If we have a family, and if we have people that are around us, and we are more concerned about what they're going to think of me, and every comfort that they have needs to be satisfied, and I want to make sure that I don't offend them for any reason, and yet we neglect the gospel, which includes ministering to those very people, then we have taken it out of balance. Sometimes we heard in this service already about tough love. Did you know that that is such a thing and it exists? There are times when we need to say, "No, I'm not going to let you do that. Because I love you." I'm talking about, you know, to our own children. There have been times when I've said, "You know what? I love you and I trust you. But I don't trust the devil, and this is what the devil's trying to do. And so I'm not going to let you be this way. And I'm going to discipline you for this. Because I love you and I want you to live for the Lord." So let's go also. So this means love less. That means that I love them, but I love my God even more. And you know, my God loves my family members more than I ever could. And so that means that if I focus on His will and His way, and I rightly divide the word of truth in my life, it's going to actually result in me showing more love to these people than I ever could in my flesh. So let's go to 1 Corinthians 2. And 14. It says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man." I'd like to get a couple other scriptures before we talk about this. In 1 John 4 and 1, it says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." I want to tell you that we need the Spirit of God, but do you know what the Spirit of God uses in our lives? It is not when we get saved and we give our lives to God, it is not as if we give up our intellect and reason. The Lord uses our intellect and our reason, but they have to be sanctified, committed, consecrated to the Lord, where we say, "Lord, my will, I want my will to be aligned with you." If we try to go use our own reason, did you know that if you don't have the Spirit of God in your life, you cannot interpret the Word of God correctly? You can have all the intelligence. Folks, I want to tell you, I would rather. The Lord has two witnesses. He has the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And those two in our lives are the voice of God to us. If we look at just the Word and we read it, but we don't have the Spirit of God to witness truth to our hearts. You know, that's what it's talking about when it says, "Try the spirits whether they be of God." We can read it and we can say, "Well, the Bible says this, and it plainly says this, and so this is how we're going to do it." Many, many movements have gone astray, and people have gone astray because they tried in their own reason and their own judgment to interpret the Word of God. And you can't do it that way. I was talking to someone a while back, and I said, you know, I really believe the Word of God says this, and I believe this is what it means. And he said, my friend said, "You know what? My dad says it's like this, and he has a degree in divinity. I want to tell you that there is a place for reading and studying, but I would far rather hear someone give his interpretation of the Bible who lives above sin in his life, who has the Spirit of God in his life working, than anybody that has however many letters they have after their name. I would far rather hear somebody that's completely uneducated in the things of this world, that has the Spirit of God dwelling in their heart and victory over sin, the power of God in their life, than someone who has gone to school and studied for years. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. It's the Spirit of God, the Word and the Spirit together, the two witnesses. And you need to do a little research on this. Those are the voice of God to you and I. And that is how we rightly divide the Word of truth. It says that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. But it also says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they be of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. We need to have, it doesn't, folks, if you are intelligent this morning, I appreciate that. I admire people that are able to reason and come up with brilliant ideas. Albert Einstein was decades ahead of his time with his theories, but you know, I'm really not interested in what he had to say about God. I'm interested in people that have got the Spirit of God and it works. That means that when they have temptation in their lives, that they're able to say no by the Spirit of God. No, I'm not going to do that. And the Lord has blessed them to be able to live a holy, sanctified life. The Lord uses our reason and our intellect, but to properly interpret the Word of God and to divide, to use it, to divide asunder between this and that, we have to have our reason and our intellect sanctified to the Lord. Some people try to just use the Word of God and say, this is what the Bible said. You know, there's another extreme also. What if somebody came to you and said, God showed me this morning His favorite color is green? I'm trying to make a point here. I know that sounds kind of funny, but do you know that the Word and the Spirit work together? It's not just, the living for the Lord is not just an emotional high. And it's not just this experience where, well, I'm going to go into a prayer closet and whatever I feel come into my head, then, and if I feel all excited and all pumped up, folks, there is a difference between the Lord speaking to us and just getting something from our emotions. It can be tricky to discern. But I don't believe that the Word of God, He's not going to tell us something through His Spirit that we cannot back up in principle with the Word of God. The Word and the Spirit work together. They never contradict each other. They work in conjunction with each other. And when the Spirit speaks to our heart, we are able by the Word of God to say, it is written, whether it is, whatever is speaking. You know, there are voices in our head. Our mind is the battleground. It's the main source of many of our conflicts. We can have thoughts that come to us that are from the devil, from our own thoughts, or from the Lord. And sometimes it's hard. Sometimes there have been times where I didn't even know which one of the three it was. But we ought to be able, David said, Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee. We have a responsibility to learn the Word of God and to memorize Scriptures. And then when we do that, God can take those, and whenever a thought presents itself to our mind, we should be able to have the Word of God and say, it is written, and either confirm or reject that which presents itself to our mind. Sometimes it takes a while. Sometimes we need to stop and pray, and maybe we need to fast. We don't have the answer. Sometimes, there have been a lot of times I've prayed for the for the answer to a question, went to church on Sunday morning and had the answer preached to me. It comes in all kinds of ways, but when the Spirit of the Lord is able to have free course in our minds, He will use both it and His Word to confirm and back up each other, and we can rightly divide. There are many religions. I have been amazed at different, and I've studied different religions, at how close some of them appear to be to the truth in this area and that area. But you know, there are counterfeits that seem to be so close, but at the very same time are so, so devilish. Christianity is not someone else doing the dividing for us, but it is, there are times when the Spirit of the Lord works through others, and the way that the Lord works is when something is said over the pulpit, you know, the Lord will make it ring true or not in our hearts. That's the working. That's the working of the Spirit. I would hate for someone to get up and say, I've done a lot of research on this. This is what the Bible teaches. I'm not worried about whether the Lord shows you or not, because I know I've done this. And you need to do this, you need to do this, and you need to do this. That's not how it works. It's a beautiful thing for us to be able to sit in a church service and the minister, God uses ministers or Bible study teachers or whatever to come and say, this is what the Word of God says. And you can say, amen, I believe that. Even if the Lord just showed you, it rings true. The Lord can bring scriptures to you. It rings true. This is what I believe. I believe it in my heart. The Lord wants us to believe. Now, I want to say that there are things that I have, there have been things that I've heard preached and taught that I did not understand. Yes. Does that mean we should just say, if the Lord doesn't show me personally, I'm not going to have anything to do with it? Remember what I said about people teaching that have the victory? I want to say this in this group setting this morning. I appreciate the examples of Brother Austis and Brother Stover and different ministers. You can hear their messages online, and they had power, they had victory, and there have been things that they have held dear that I in the past have not understood. And I want to tell you, there are still some things that I do not understand, but I'm not going to throw away things that people said. They're valuable, but rather than just keep it and say, well, they did it and so I'm going to do it, and I'm going to dig, and I'm going to study, and I'm going to search, and I'm going to say, Lord, why was it valuable to them? What did they see in it that I don't see? Maybe there might be something that one of them or more than one of them did that wasn't correct. You know, the Lord will help us if we have an open mind and an open heart to know exactly where to divide the Word of God in our lives. I remember one thing in particular, and I just could not understand what it was. I could not understand what was right about it. I said, Lord, I don't understand it. I don't get it. But I didn't throw it away, and I did it. And then a few years ago, the Lord sent a message that was not at all connected with it. At least so I thought. And then a few days later, He sent another message, and putting those two together, it was at Monarch. It clicked. And it was there, and I knew this is what the Lord wants me to do. And so now I don't have to say, well, I don't know why we do it, but it was good enough for them and it's good enough for me. There's a time and place to respect what others have done and to respect their life and the victory and the anointing, but there is also a time and place for the Lord to reveal something to our hearts where we say, I do this because Jesus wants me to do it. I do it because it's pleasing to the Lord. I do it because the Spirit and the Word of God have agreed together and taught me this. We need to have places like that. Folks, if you don't have places like that in your life, I'm afraid that there will come a day where, you know, the Scripture talks about being carried to and fro by every wind of doctrine, if we don't have a solid foundation of understanding and start cultivating that, nobody expects you to have a solid foundation like that when you first get saved. But when we get saved, it starts to build if we let it. You know why? Because God's building with you. His Spirit is working upon your heart. He has already things lined up that He wants to teach you. And sometimes we're too busy trying to focus on our own ideas and our own interpretations that we don't stop and say, Lord, what do you want me to learn? I hope that this is a blessing to you this morning. Just some things that I would like us to keep in mind. The Lord wants us to have balance in our lives.
Yes,
you pray for me.